Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. The function has started here. The Honors Luncheon, the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, honoring the legacy of Tom Benson and obviously all that Gail Benson does in our community. And Mike Haas and I are joined by Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans and Company. Walt, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm pretty intimidated to be on here with you two radio celebrities, but I'm happy to be with you.
I'll show you what a radio celebrity is. We're getting ready to start. I looked at Walt and I go, how's your dad? He goes, dude, we're on the air.
But he's good.
So much for what
in
you
fact,
know about.
In fact, he came to the Pels game with me the other night, last Friday, when we whooped up on Denver.
So don't you love the cup court?
Love it.
Some of them to me are just...
Now, the Celtics, not good.
Most of them are hard to look
not
at.
Not good.
The cars is,
ours
is
looks good.
Classy. Well done.
I was watching a game the other night on TV. The court was black. Yeah. Is that the Spurs?
You know the cup games.
Yeah. There's some kind of, this cup game thing. And you know, the parquet floor in the Celtics, I think it was green.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't look good. But I guess, you know, maybe it looked good to them.
That's right.
Ours looked good, though.
So, Walt, obviously the ramp up to the Super Bowl, I mean, these days are clicking off fast. The month of November, I don't know about you, but it was like gone.
It's gone, and December is going to be quick, too, and everybody's just getting ready. But I'll tell you right now, and this being in this building right now and for this event, that you can feel the energy. People are really fired up about it, and so many good things happening out there in preparation for it. And so, I think 78 days, but we're gonna be more than ready. And can't wait to get there and showcase the city.
So we have the NFL commissioner here. Roger Goodell took his tour of the facility today, and we understand that it went well, and he was shocked by what was accomplished here. And I think he's always had a love for the facility, right, Mike?
And yeah, very much so. And I was actually, you'd asked me earlier, and not shockingly, I was wrong. I thought he had been here during the renovation, and he hadn't. It was pre 2019, which I'm actually is awesome, right?
Yeah.
Because you didn't have to see it in this dilapidated construction situation. You were able to remember what you saw, and now you see this, and it's a light year from where it was. So I think that is just awesome, and I know he's excited to be here. There's a video of Tom Benson that's up past March 15th back in 2018. But without Mr. Benson in 1985, all three of us ain't sitting here. Because without an NFL team, you know, there's a lot of different things that would have happened with this building. And it, you know, I spent most of my professional life in here, and I never, ever take it for granted.
I talked to a guy just this past week. I was in D.C., and he works at the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau. But he told me when he was 13 years old, he came down to New Orleans in the late 70s with his father, who was here for a conference. And it was the first time they did a family tour of the Superdome. He said he'll never forget the first time he came into this building. And he's looking forward to coming back and visiting. But, you know, people all over the country and all over the world have a connection to our city, but also to this iconic stadium. And there's so many big things that have happened here. Love hearing that stuff from people from all over the country. But it's a really nice family story about a memory he's got from early in his childhood. And the fact that this stadium is going to be 50 years old in 25 is pretty special.
See, I don't know if you were here, but I'm old enough to know what was here before the Superdome. You're young enough that it was probably constructed before you were born.
Right? Just a couple of years before. So, right.
What is your
I'm 46.
What is your first memory of the Superdome?
Some of my earliest memories that I have are college basketball games in here, LSU versus Georgetown, right. LSU yeah. versus Notre Dame, when we had, I think, record crowds in here. I remember some Bush challenges from early on that were pretty awesome.
Home plate would have been right there.
I think I got a foul ball at one of those games LSU Florida State game. So many. I remember when they just had kind of carpet on the ground. It's pretty awesome to be on
concrete,
the field.
Then
concrete
green.
And carpet, right?
Right.
But it just looks awesome in here. And so many great memories. Those are some of the early ones, though.
But that to me is the difference. I go to a lot of stadiums, and they're new, but they don't have any shared experiences. We've cried here, we've laughed here, we've cheered here, we've done it all here. And when you've done that, you can't buy that at SoFi, right? It's just a new building that'll be gone in 25 years.
Yeah, you can spend $5 billion if you want to,
right.
But you can't build that.
You can't have the soul and the class that this building has.
Yep, no question.
It's just kind of interesting, you know, each generation, how they view this place. And you just mentioned some things. I remember them after you mentioned them.
Right. But they didn't necessarily stick out for you as some other did,
as
right?
Some others
yeah,
did, right?
I mean, it's amazing.
How, as we look, we have Michael Soy on, and we know he's moving to Audubon, but this renovation, what they're doing at the convention center with the headquarter hotel, what Caesars is doing, it's got to put us, talk about the position from a convention, just any event that we might have had to struggle with 5 years ago, where we are now.
Well, I think the big thing is if you don't do those things, then you're not in the conversation for a whole bunch of events. We're not doing the Super Bowl if we didn't do this renovation. We're likely not getting a Final Four anytime soon if we hadn't done this renovation. And the same is true for major conferences. You know, I mean, when you're talking about 30,000 physicians coming in for their conference, whatever their specialty may be, they want excellence. They expect an excellent facility. That's kind of like just table stakes. If you don't have an excellent facility, well, then what else is there to talk about? Same thing with hotels. Fact is, a lot of our hotel properties are a little bit older, and there's certainly going to be some great renovations that happen over the next few years. But I think a lot of that's going to be driven by the new headquarters hotel, the competition that creates. So the Caesars investment is massive. I mean, when you have a company like Caesars who can invest their money wherever they want, and they choose to do it here, and they do something as beautiful as they've done, that's a game changer. I'm excited for more people in our region to get into that property. You know, I mean, I think that... they, you know, for folks who have maybe started to go to the Gulf Coast and, you know, other places to seek that kind of entertainment, I think they need to take a really close look at what we've got downtown now, and they will see very quickly that it's not what we used to have. Much like you're talking about, the Superdome is not what it was five years ago.
It's not your daddy's, convention center or Caesar's, you know, casino.
And it's great to have customers who have been loyal to our city over the years. Maybe they've been coming for 20 years. When they come back and they see the new airport, the new convention center, the linear park in front of it, all of that work that's been done, they're stunned and happy. I mean, they like our city, but... they've been picking other cities because they have shinier, newer things, and they've made investments that we haven't. So we're catching up in a lot of ways. I hope that we'll be smart enough to kind of stay on the cutting edge of that and take care of the things that we're making investments in. That'll be the next challenge when you get a couple years down the road. Are we taking care of the things that we've done? But it's table stakes. You know, I mean, there's probably $20 or $30 billion worth of convention center construction happening across the country right now, at least $6 billion in Texas alone, in a couple of different cities. And so that's the name of the game. It's an arms race, and you got to keep up if you want to compete at the highest level.
There's so many things that we have that the other cities don't have, but still, as you point out, it that is the driver, right?
When you've got professional meeting planners coming in, or, you know, NFL or the NCAA who are producing an event, the facilities are important. You know, I mean, you've got to have that. Once you get past that, then we get the chance to sell the culture and the unique assets that we've got, because we know it's going to drive attendance. But you got to win the event and then help drive the attendance. And so, you've always got... that working for you, but But the facilities really, really matter when you're talking about pros who do this for a living. They know the difference between a good facility and one that's not up to par, and they know that it's going to impact the quality of the event they produce. So it's critical.
And I think the message that the city has been able to spend, Roger Goodell just finishing bringing up Miscale, we're not able to take the event live, so understand that we're doing a show that is here. But the ability to have the message of three Taylor Swift's concerts,
yeah.
Which, by the way, I saw you at one, so I know you were there. So, well done. But that message to the world, a Super Bowl 2 months later, the Saints games, Sugar Bowl quarterfinal, all of this as you finish a building, what a great way to say, hey, Globe, look what we've done.
Incredible. I mean, the timing couldn't be better to be able to roll those things out. And I think it's going to pay dividends. You know, I think, again, I was in D.C. I was with people from all over the country, and they're talking about the Taylor Swift concert that was just here, the Super Bowl that's coming. And it makes it, it sends the message that we're on the right track. And that pays off in other events that want to be here. We wanted the Taylor Swift concert to be so special because we wanted every musical act around the country to say, the Superdome and New Orleans has got to be on our list. If we're going to be a big tour, one of the biggest in the world, then we've got to go there. We can't miss that. And I think we did that, and we've got more work to do. Everybody wants it. They're all going to compete. But I think that people saw something special here, and I'm excited to see how we can translate that into more opportunities. It creates great opportunities for people who live here to be able to experience these amazing events, but it also creates the opportunity to attract people here for a communal, memorable experience, and it couldn't have gone better.
No. You know, as a result of the hard work of your organization and so many others here in the city, we have been recognized by so many different organizations in hospitality, in tourism, for what we have to provide. It's just another opportunity to tell our story. I get these texts all the time. I've asked you these questions. You know, folks are like, well, why do we got to wait till there's a Super Bowl? Because it's a big event that we can leverage and we can improve upon our product, right?
We shouldn't have to wait. I mean, everybody who's upset about it is you know, rightfully upset. I think we shouldn't. We should do a better job. We always want to do a better job of making these investments. I think from our perspective, it's like you said, we're just trying to make sure that when there is an opportunity to leverage it, that we do it. And so if that's what it takes to get people engaged and moving forward, well, then obviously we want to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we should come up with some better, you know, programming on making these investments and keeping them up. But we also recognize that when you have a city of only about 380,000 people and you're hosting events of this magnitude, generating this kind of revenue, these events create opportunities to make those investments. And it's on the backs of people who are visiting, which is quite frankly a great model. I mean, this Superdome financed by visitors.
Yep, hotel, motel taxes.
And the convention center paid for by visitors. I read an article in the New York Times last week questioning why cities are spending so much on convention centers and kind of challenging the meetings industry in the wake of COVID, maybe not as many people attending. I think it was an erroneous article, first of all, but it reminded me of one really important thing. The city of New Orleans doesn't pay for the convention center. The visitors to it pay for it. And it's a political subdivision in and of itself. So our city's not on the hook for bonds. Our city's not on the hook for operational expenses. Visitors are financing that whole operation just like they do here at the Superdome.
Right.
It's a great model for us. It's something we need to protect. You know, I mean, there are sometimes challenges to that, but this has been a great thing for our community for 50 years to have visitors to the city financing it when, in reality, 70% of the people who use it are locals or regionals.
I had a good friend tell me, you know why Vegas is what it is today? And I said, no, why is that? He goes, new wallets every day in Vegas.
Yep. They yeah. empty new wallets every day.
Right. So the last thing that I have for you is, and Mark Romick was on earlier, and he talked about it, and my boss, one of my bosses, Evan Holmes, the general manager, we did this in phases, right? This Superdome was built in, renovated in phases, and you had this energy, phase, can't finish, cannot finish.
Right.
And Mark Romick talked about this new, really, relationship between business and the city, business and government. And Evan says, we cannot go back to what we were doing. We have to keep this phase mentality, and Mark said we have to keep this relationship, and it's you and Michael Hecht in the city that get things done. We have to take this and make something of it.
Yeah, I think it's a good model that can be replicated in a number of different ways, you know, and we've been doing it in other ways for a long time, public safety and other things. I think formalizing it a little bit in the way that that's happened with some of the infrastructure stuff is a positive thing. Partnerships are the only way to get big things done anywhere in any place. And so the more that we can build those relationships, some trust and some common purpose, I think that's how you get it done, and that's how the model works, and that's how cities get stronger. You know, I mean, if you look at cities that are growing and thriving, they have strong government leadership, but they also have strong business leadership and strong civic engagement, where people are trying to move in the same direction towards a common vision. And if there's a little bit of momentum on that, we got to keep it.
Yeah. Legislature's in special session. They were voting on the package today. Any concerns?
I was really excited to see that they've made some compromises, it appears, on the film tax credit and the historic right. tax credit. We just had the National Historic Trust in town for about a 2,000-person meeting a couple weeks ago. We're the number one state in America when it comes to leveraging historic tax credits for investment. We get federal dollars and state, and we renovate these older buildings into beautiful new structures.
That would never go into the stream of commerce, right?
They'd be out of commerce, not paying taxes and other things. So, I mean, I'm pleased that they found some compromise on that. And I'm hopeful that they'll come up with some ways to continue to address some of these tax challenges that we've got. I mean, I don't think there's any question that we need improvement there. How you balance it, it's tough. I've been there.
I know, that's why I asked you.
I got some texts last night about them.
But he has shed all the gray hair from those days.
Quibbling over a half a penny here and a half a penny there, and I was like, man, I don't miss that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's admirable to go tackle it. I think they're going to
come out
with some improvement, and you know, sometimes incremental improvement's better than some big wholesale shift. And so hopefully it'll get a little bit better. They can keep working on it, but I think protecting those credits were important. It looks like they've worked that out. I hope that comes to fruition.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Well, as always, Walt, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for what you do. Your organization are great. I mean, y'all continue to get recognized from national organizations around the country, internationally as well.
Phenomenal team of people who love our community so much, and they put their whole heart and soul into it every day. I'm proud to just be a team member of theirs.
Absolutely, and we appreciate you and the job that you guys do. Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
Great to be with you guys.
As always.
Hi, we'll be right back. I'm Newell Norman. He's Mike Haas. We're at the Caesar Superdome for the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Luncheon. Miss Gail Benson just received her recognition and gave her speech, as well as Roger Goodell. And we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, folks. We are broadcasting live from the Caesar Superdome for the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Luncheon, and we've had the opportunity to visit with a number of people that have that are participating in preparation for the Super Bowl, and we're joined by yet another, Leah Brown with Chevron, part of the Super Bowl host committee. Leah, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You guys, obviously, these corporate partnerships are so terribly important to what we do. Without the infrastructure of your organization and all that y'all bring, and y'all have been great corporate partners to the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana for a number of years. We're happy and we're proud that y'all are involved in this one.
Super excited to work with the Sports Foundation and the host committee on the Ambassador Program. Of course, hosting is a part of New Orleans fabric and culture, truly is what we do. And so this is a great place. Chevron is the human energy company that we can come in and assist the city and be a part of Super Bowl 59.
If you think of the host committee and just kind of think of its pillars, right, its columns, which are, you know, the PR committees. And so Chevron as a partner in this, patron partner, you have now the task of kind of training these volunteers. And how many volunteers are we talking about, roughly?
So this far exceeded our expectations. We had more than 7,000 individuals apply to be ambassadors, so that was exciting. We have about 5,000 folks who will actually be trained in the program. Those virtual trainings have actually already started. We have a number of individuals who have been waitlisted for ambassadors, so it's great when you see such a large demand, to be truly an extension of this city that many of us call home.
It's a lot of people. I mean, we're talking about this within the ASM world of when you police and volunteers and our workers and workers outside. They don't think about, you know, a typical game. It's like 10,000 of us alone, ASM police, and then these five. I mean, that's 15,000 people, right? This is a big deal. And so the training of these volunteers, how does one go about that, other than you've started with the virtual? How do you do it in sections? How do you?
Yes, I'll have to say I have to give the Sports Foundation a lot of credit here, right? Because they really are the ones that are doing the heavy lift in this space. So, you know, we're happy to support it. Being virtual helps. There is an upcoming in-person training that they're going to have for those ambassadors. But the ability to do some things online and doing it in batches is definitely useful. So it's a monumental endeavor, but I believe this is our 11th, right?
Yep.
Super Bowl. So
yep.
We're not new to this. This is something that we clearly have done before and we do extremely well.
Leah, what are your folks hearing from the volunteers? What motivates them?
So interestingly enough, I spoke to someone this morning who has been waitlisted and shared with me that she'd volunteered for other games. And so she was excited. Unfortunately, she signed up a little bit late. But people truly enjoy being a part of the game and helping, meeting new people. She said, you know, I love to just talk to people from different places. And so there are folks who have done this numerous times. And I think they just really want to connect and be a part of Super Bowl, right? It's like hosting, I would say, a really big wedding. So essentially this is New Orleans hosting the party of all parties.
And this has to be incredibly encouraging for you folks to hear that, right? That we, a lot of times we don't feel like people are taking pride in their community, but they truly are and want to give back in a small way.
Yes, they just showed a video at the luncheon, right? If this is not a place where you can find things to be proud of, I'm not sure, you know, where you're going to find it, whether you're talking about the people, the culture, the music, right? There are so many unique things that we have in this city that other places, you know, just don't have. So we truly are a unique place, not just in the state, but I would say within the United States and within the world.
And I would say this is an opportunity. If, I know the Super Bowl may have what maybe you got, you thought you wanted to get involved, still get involved. The GNOSF needs volunteers. They need members. They need donations. Just because you weren't in a part of the Super Bowl volunteer group, stay involved because this is an opportunity. There's more things. Believe me, if Jay Cicero were sitting here, if we could look in his day book, there are more big things coming.
There will definitely continue to be opportunities to engage the public. I know that there's going to be a parade the Saturday of Super Bowl, and so for folks who maybe have not had a chance to get plugged in different in one way or another, going to the parade will be another way to be able to kind of be a part of that.
We definitely can
go to a parade.
Let's see, I think we can figure that one out. That one is pretty cool.
Yes, yes.
It's figuring out what to throw.
That's right. And I think, and I'm sure this will be part of Chevron's message, and it probably can't be lost in that. When you're talking to these ambassadors, who go, oh, this is pretty cool, but guess what? You may be the first face or the last face our visitors to our city see. There's a responsibility that comes with that.
That is definitely a responsibility. Ambassadors will be at the airports. They'll be at hotels. They'll be at different VIP and other events that are happening across the city. And so you are serving as an extension of Super Bowl of host committee of the city. And you very well might be the first person that a visitor interacts with. Some folks will be here for the very first time. Some will be repeat guests. And so regardless of if it's their first or their 100th, we want everybody to have a phenomenal experience, and so we know that our ambassadors will help do that.
What are you hearing from members of your organization that are involved? I mean, you guys get involved in a lot of different things, and
we do.
You know, the city and the state is the benefactor of that, right? They benefit from that. But what are you hearing from them?
Yeah, so, you know, again, Chevron is the human energy company. Volunteering is something that is kind of embedded in our fabric. Our employees love to give back. They love to volunteer. We just finished up, actually, Humankind Month, so a big volunteer program that we do every year. But our employees are kind of in the same space of those ambassadors. Many of them have signed up to be ambassadors, and so they're also excited, looking forward to the Super Bowl, how they can continue to be plugged in. We also have some STEM activations that we're doing in partnership with the host committee and STEM NOLA that are going to happen leading up to Super Bowl. And so it is a game. It is a great time. But there are also some other things that we're doing alongside the game. So more to come on those different STEM activations that we're doing in different places in the state, so not just in Orleans. So excited about those things as well.
Mike and I have talked about this opportunity to leverage, right, Mike?
Sure.
And some folks don't really kind of get it, don't understand it, right? You have this big platform, big party, big event, big whatever you want to call it, and it just fuels and feeds the community in so many different ways.
It definitely does. Also working with folks at the state, so you know, Louisiana Department of Economic Development, this is a phenomenal opportunity for economic development and to showcase, you know, what we have going on in the state. Susan has done a lot of work, of course, in that capacity there. So this is an opportunity. We have to make sure that we do take full advantage of it.
When I walk in to the offices upstairs, there's a countdown, and it's, I think, 79 days. When I say 79 days to you, what does that mean?
Yes, well, you know, I immediately see a spreadsheet, you know, so I've been spending a lot of time with Michael, and, you know, there's a list, but honestly, you know, I'm not at all frantic about that countdown, because I feel like there are good people, there's a good plan in place. As I've said, we've done this before,
it's what
right?
We do.
It's what we do. So we know what to do. The parts and pieces are in place, and I think things are progressing like according to plan. So I'm very comforted that when the Super Bowl day rolls around, we're going to be ready. People are going to have a great time, and I think those who come in to visit, it's going to be a memorable experience for them.
Absolutely.
February 9th. Man, it sounds far away, but it's not. It's not.
Truly, truly. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate Chevron as an organization, been a great corporate partner, as I said earlier, to not only the city, but the surrounding community and the state of Louisiana. Y'all continue to step up in so many different ways, and we truly appreciate that effort. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All righty, that's Leah Brown from Chevron, member of the Super Bowl host committee. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're at the Caesar Superdome broadcasting live for the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Luncheon. They're getting ready to do a discussion panel at this point in time. Mike?
Yeah, it's an interesting panel, right? So, you know, not everybody comes to events like this for a roundtable, but these are the Super Bowl coordinators, if you will, for every one that they have had. Jim Steig is a part of it, Frank Supovitz, and Peter O'Reilly. So every Super Bowl has had like a coordinator, right? There's been three. They are all right now sitting up on stage. So as we talk about often, institutional knowledge, right? But things change because we've had the NFL here several times, and many of them have not been here since 2013. And 2013 was a long time ago. There's new people, right? They've had changeover. But what impresses me about how New Orleans does big events. And like the Super Bowl, when we had the Super Bowl after 9/11, we were the first major event. So our security was like none other, to the point that there are members of the ASM security team that go to every Super Bowl. Lessons learned in New Orleans after 9/11 are still being used. So, you know, we don't talk about our institutional knowledge often. And I will say that obviously with the new Super Bowl, the 2013 Super Bowl and the lights happening will come up, right? Never going to happen again. Never. We have LED lights. We turn them on and off like we do in our house, right? But the NFL, after that game in 2013, started going to Super Bowl stadiums and months in advance and shutting it down. Shut it all off. As you know, and then how fast can you bring it up, right? And I talked to the NFL. I goes, this test, we didn't do this test until after 2013.
Right.
Everybody benefits. Nobody even knew that thing happened. It was one evening, right, in the summer. But it's kind of New Orleans leading the way. You know, things that happen, whether they were good or bad, but now there are things in place that benefited Allegiant Stadium last year, next year Santa Clara in 2026. So that part, I hope, can always be part of the conversation. Right. When we talk about 2013, I know what's coming. Right. We know what's coming. But guess what? We took what happened and we made it better, and everybody else is going to benefit from it.
Well, it kind of causes everybody to refocus on the infrastructure of the facility itself. Right. Redundancy, backup systems, all of these things. Everybody kind of finds a comfort zone. They fall into that comfort zone for a while, and then you have an event that happens, an occurrence that causes you to recalculate, rethink, recalibrate what it is your approach is.
Right. Entergy's been a huge partner in that.
Yeah, that. And, well, you know, the NFL is an organization, because I think a lot of times we lose sight of, and we get a lot of texts like, man, why is this such a big deal? Well, there are not that many events that are international to the magnitude of the Super Bowl.
Right.
We think of it as almost like a Saints game, right? And it's going out through the Gulf South. Okay, well, maybe it goes through the United States. Now, this is around the world.
Right.
This is a world stage. It's not like any other stage.
It's
quite
not
frankly.
Like any other stage.
And there's only a few events, the Olympics being one, right, that are of the magnitude of the Super Bowl.
And I would say, because I know it's going to come up, and I think that as we're sitting in this building, 2025, August 3rd, is going to be our actual 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm. So that's when we begin year 50. It will be celebrated during the Super Bowl as if we were 50.
Right.
Right? I mean, it is what it is. But we will have a whole year from August 3rd of 2025 to August 3rd of 2026 to celebrate this building. And also in that time frame, as you well know, we will have the 20th anniversary of Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
And there are already entities out there looking to tell that story. And it's just important to tell it in the framework of what this building is and was and does. And a lot of it kind of gets lost. I mean, we all know how bad August 29th was. We understand it. We all know how this building was a beacon for a year, that if they can do it, if they can rebuild that place, I can rebuild my place. But then think about 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, the banking crisis. We were still renovating. This
Sure.
was a job generator for 5 to 7 years. And as soon as we got the new lease in 2009, we did the same thing in 10, 11, and 12. It is an economic engine beyond the events. I was going to talk to Walt about it a lot, because he talked about, you know, heads in beds.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, you know this. The LSED isn't up in front of the state going, we need this. We need a new air conditioner. It's a self-sufficient building.
Mm-hmm.
And Smoothie King Center, same thing. It's paid for with a hotel and the revenues that are generated here. Taylor Swift, concerts, Pelicans, all these other events that we have. It makes it a self-sustaining building, and it's got another generation of memories. That's the beauty part, because I travel and you travel. I visit other stadiums and they're nice, but they're not home. Right?
Well, there are not many that you can leave your hotel room and walk to the arena.
Right.
You've traveled with the Saints. I've traveled with the Saints. I mean, we've had to take, in some cases, significant bus rides.
Oh, yeah.
And with 30, 40 minutes.
We have a police escort. We're
a police escort. Right. You know, I mean, to get to
Miami.
A stadium.
Look at Miami is the perfect example. When the Saints won in 09, really 2010, you know, you had the media was up the beach, you know, in Vero, and then you had down in South Miami, and the stadium was 20. I mean, you had a triangle, but the triangle was 20 miles. Our triangle is 1 mile.
The Saints host hotel was 35 minutes away
from South Beach.
Yeah, right. It's like 35, 40 minutes away from the stadium.
Yeah. And so that's why there is no place better. And, you know, I hope that people will take the time, and we've broadcasted from an event. We didn't really broadcast the event because of, you know, logistics, and we couldn't, but take the time. The GNOSF.org is...
I think they're going to have this event on that website.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it's really GNOSports.org is an important entity, right, for everything that's happened. And get involved, become a member, and help.
They have a small staff, but huge volunteers.
Right. Yeah. But they, you know, they don't have, when they have an event, when they bring an event here, they don't get money for that event.
No.
They are reliant on state funding, right? Part of, you know, whatever bill that there is, and it's always a battle. So it is what it is. So they get along through donations and help from people, but there's a lot of ways to help. And, you know, if you haven't been to the building, so the Saints have the Rams coming up on December 1st. Then they have Las Vegas and Washington. So there's
Washington.
Three more home games.
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels. You know, they look strong. The Rams, I thought, were dead a few months ago.
They're now coming back.
They're coming back. Saints look strong. We're coming off an open week. You know, the Eagles play the Rams this week.
Right.
And so just root for anybody that's playing Atlanta. Trust me. The problem with Atlanta is we cannot tie them.
Right.
We can't. We have, because their NFC record and their NFC South record is strong.
Strong.
So if they're playing Atlanta, you root for them.
Yep. All right, we got to get to a break. Mike Haas, Newell Norman, we'll come right back. We'll check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We had a great time, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
I always enjoy doing this with you. I learned so much about the arena and all of the inner workings and the machinations of all of this, and it's always a good learning opportunity for me, and I enjoy it each and every year. And it's so great for the city. See, I mean, like, full house. I don't know how many people are out there, but it's a ton.
And you know them all.
Yeah,
you know them all.
No, I only know half of what you know. All right, folks, we'll be right back. So, Mike, I know you want to thank everyone like I do. There's too many to name them all in today's production, but we appreciate the extra effort by everyone in making this happen, and thank you for hosting us.
Thank you, my friend. It's your show. I'm just a man. You're the easiest man in the world to work with.
ASM has worked with us as well to make this all happen, and we are joined by Scoot now on Free for All Friday. It's always Free for All with Scoot. What's going on, Scoot?
Yeah, like it's going to be any different today than any other day. We just have a better excuse on a Friday to be totally uncontrolled.
There you go.
All right. So, you know, there's I guess there's LSU, but there's really not a lot of football to talk about this weekend. And the Saints have a bye week, but it's going to be just a beautiful weekend. We'll talk about that. We got a little politics to talk about. And, you know, we'll review some of the things that we actually talked about this week. And there's a big potluck Thanksgiving holiday party at the station today. And they timed it from 1 to 4, which is when our show's on the air. So obviously they don't want us to be here.
Is there a message in that?
Not so subtle message, I might add. All right, you guys have a great weekend.
You too, Scoot. And let me remind everyone, with the Kiwanis, the world's largest turkey fry, give them a shout, 867-8400. Order your turkey today.
Coming
have a
up,
great
baby.
Weekend.